AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. Yesterday was Palm Sunday, and churches celebrated the beginning of Holy Week as Jesus came into Jerusalem on that Sunday. Some say it was Monday, but tradition and most scholars will say, no, it was, it was Palm Sunday. And he came into Jerusalem that day amidst the shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they would cut down palm branches, John tells us, and they would lay those on the road as a sign of praise, a sign of submission. They put their coats in the road to say, you are king, you walk over me. And it was it was Jesus' first openly public display of this is who I am. He says in the book of Luke, he weeps because he said, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. It was all superficial for so many of them, and the city was teeming with people. You had to go as a Jew that was practicing Judaism, you had to go to Jerusalem for the great feast, and this Passover is one of the great feasts that they would go to. They'd go for Passover, they'd go for Pentecost, and they'd go for Tabernacles. And so the city was full of people, and people came out of the city, and people were with Jesus, his big entourage. This was a big deal. The Pharisees hated it. They said, Teacher, do you not hear what they're saying? Rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these are silent, the stones will cry out. It was a time to recognize. And although they did superficially, they didn't deep down. It didn't last for sure, because we go from Palm Sunday, hail him, to Good Friday, nail him. And the same cries that said Hosanna to the Son of David, that same loud cry now said, not this man, but Barabbas. And Pilate asked the question, what then shall I do with Jesus? And they said, let him be crucified. Just horrific. But that's the way a lot of people are with Jesus. You know, people have asked the question, how in the world do you go from an enthusiastic crowd, tens of thousands of people that are shouting Hosanna to the Son of David on Sunday, and then you get a crowd saying crucify him on Friday morning? How does that happen? Well, there are two answers to that question. Number one, the Friday crowd was probably more of a Jerusalem crowd, and the Sunday crowd was probably more of a Galilean crowd, people that had traveled from Galilee to come and for the feast. And so you probably had a different mixture of people in there. And no doubt the Pharisees were involved and the Sadducees were involved in who was in that, in Pilate's court. But the second reason is this. When Jesus didn't do what the people thought he was supposed to do, you know, they had this idea of Messiah that was based on his second coming, not his first coming. What does Messiah do when he comes? Well, he kicks off the party. Let the good times roll. He overthrows Rome. Israel is no longer going to be the tail. We're going to be the head. And he is going to set up his kingdom, and it's going to be wonderful. And the lion's going to lay down with the lamb and all that stuff. And so, but he didn't do that. They missed the first coming. They missed Isaiah 53. They missed the suffering servant. And because he didn't do what they thought he should do, they said he's not the Messiah. They rejected him. And they rejected him with vehemence because they said, we don't want, it's not just away with this man, it's let's kill this man. We would choose Barabbas over this man. Unbelievable. So yesterday was a big day, and many, many churches talked about the triumphal entry. I talked about it from the standpoint of the last thing that Mark records before the triumphal entry, and that is the healing of blind Bartimaeus. I love the story of blind Bartimaeus, that beggar in Jericho that heard the commotion and responded. I set up that sermon, I said this, you know, in the movie Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams, it was predicated on two words. That was a very famous movie from 1989. It was all built on two words, two Latin words, as Robin Williams played an English teacher in this preparatory school. His name was John Keating, and he taught the students these two words, carpe diem. Latin words, carpe diem, seize the day. And I use that as a springboard to say that's what Bartimaeus did, because they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He knew that there was something special going on. He could hear all the crowd. He could sense that, you know, this is not an ordinary begging day for me. Something is going on. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, and he kept crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Such a great, great passage, a great account in the Gospel of Mark, where we have his name. Matthew talks about it. Luke also talks about it. So this Holy Week, as we kicked it off yesterday, you need to carpe diem. You need to seize the day. I need to seize the day and the opportunities that the Lord gives us. The little poem says this, only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, we seize the opportunity when we hear the gospel and we have an opportunity to put our faith and trust in Jesus. We don't just presume on tomorrow and say, well, I'll do that later. I'll do that tomorrow. I'm going to, you know, right now I'm having my fun. I'm sowing my wild oats. But later on, I'll settle down and then I'll get involved and then I'll give my life to Jesus. You know, Jesus said, what is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away? You don't presume upon tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. You know, I had shared this yesterday. Bartimaeus, when they were telling him to be quiet as he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, they told him, they were sternly telling him to shut up and to be quiet because he was creating quite a stir and a commotion there. And they wanted him to be quiet. Zip it. Jesus is not going to stop for you, pal. You're a blind beggar. You're an outcast. You got nothing. And he would not stop. He would not be deterred. Now, he could have easily said, well, here's what I'm going to do. You know, this is not a good time. Obviously, this is not the right time. So Jesus is going to the feast, but he'll be coming back. He comes back through this way to go up to Galilee. He's Jesus of Nazareth. And so he's going to go back up north and he'll come back through this way. I'll wait because there'll be less people. And then that'll be my opportunity to talk to him. Here's the thing. Jesus was going to Jerusalem and going to the cross. This was 1 week before the cross. And Jesus never passed through Jericho again. This was his opportunity. And he carpe diem'd. He seized the day. He did not let that opportunity pass him by. I would encourage you, whatever's going on in your life today, that you choose to honor the Lord, go with the Lord, do what he wants you to do. When you're at a fork in the road, as that baseball player said, whatever his name is, I'm going blank on his name, but hey, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. You can't do that, but when you come to a fork in the road in life, you do what the Lord says, and you say, yes, Lord Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" So do what the Lord says. Take advantage of the opportunity that you have. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, yesterday after church, Debbie and I went home. I took a little nap, and it was wonderful. But I watched the basketball game between Duke and UConn. And what a game. I watched, turned it on at halftime. I saw Charles Barkley saying, you know, this game is over. UConn doesn't have the firepower to come back. Duke's got this in the bag, that kind of attitude. And lo and behold, UConn beat Duke on a last second shot. They got a steal in the last few seconds, got the ball back, and a freshman hit a long three-pointer to give them a one-point lead. So exciting. So for the Final Four, I didn't do a bracket this year, but many people did. And the Final Four, what do we have? We have a Big East team, a Big 12 team, Arizona. So the Big East is UConn. They're playing Illinois, a Big 10 team. And a Big 12 team, Arizona, is playing another Big 10 team, Michigan. So UConn versus Illinois, Arizona versus Michigan, the Final Four. And that'll be played on Saturday, and then the championship on Sunday. Well, also, I got to see Gary Woodlawn, or Woodland. There was a movie called Woodlawn. I always want to call Gary Woodland Woodlawn. That's not his name. Gary Woodland, he won his first PGA event since 2019, and the Houston Open. And it was exciting. He won it going away. I think he won by four strokes or five strokes, something like that. The Texas Children's Open, I think, is what they called it. But what makes this a big deal is that Gary, just a few weeks before that, he had talked about the struggles that he faced and he faces since his brain surgery in 2023. His brain surgery caused him to have PTSD. He was diagnosed with PTSD, and he says, "I have panic attacks and hyper anxiety, intense fear, blurred vision." And he said, "Those things can hit me out of the blue. I can't stop crying." And pretty difficult when you're a professional golfer. And he said he was playing in a tournament, and a scorer, a walking scorer, came up behind him kind of quickly, and it scared him. And all of a sudden, this panic just starts to fill his heart, and very difficult for him to finish. And so it was powerful for him to share. You can listen to his interview, but he just shares very openly. And he said, I don't want to hide this anymore. This is what I'm struggling with. And, you know, those close to me, obviously, they know about it. He praised his wife for being there for him. But it was so cool to see him win. Listen, golf is the hardest game that you'll ever play. I played a lot of sports, and you know, wasn't great at anything. I was decent at basketball. Played all through high school in basketball. We had a good team my senior year, Cypress Creek Cougars. We finished 29-6, and I was a key part of that team. But basketball is nowhere near, in my opinion, as hard as golf. You know, basketball, you got it or you don't, as far as height and things like that, and talent and ability. I mean, obviously, those guys are great athletes. But golf, anybody can play golf, but it's hard to play it well. And golf is one of those sports that looks easy, but it's extremely hard. And it's such a mental game. And so hats off to Gary Woodland for winning and for being so open. And I watched his interview, and I said this to myself, you know, everybody struggles with something, and we need to be compassionate to people. I mean, nobody before Gary said that, the public didn't know that he had PTSD. They just knew he had this benign tumor in his brain. He had it taken out. I guess he's all better. He's back playing golf again. They just expect him to be totally normal as far as his emotions, but he's dealing with a beast inside, with this panic attack, this PTSD. So we need to cut people some slack. We don't know what burdens they're carrying. And so always give people the benefit of the doubt. The Bible says a gentle answer, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And when you're dealing with people, especially if you have a job where you deal with the public, waiter, waitress, working in the grocery store or whatever it might be, a department store. Always treat people with kindness. Some people can be very rude. I get that. But you don't know what burdens they're carrying. So be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Man, that was those were some funny clips. Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, is one funny guy. And so I agree with him. The amount of energy that God has given to Donald Trump is amazing. 78 years old, and that guy runs circles around people that are half his age in terms of energy and production. And as somebody said, it might have been Robert Jeffress, but many would agree, President Donald Trump is the most consequential president that we've ever seen. You can put him up against any president that has ever been. Because of the amount of things that he gets accomplished is just amazing. He's not a politician. He's a businessman, and he is used to getting things done. Comparing him to Gavin Newsom, who gets nothing done, who wastes billions of dollars on these boondoggles and these things that are sound good, high-sounding rhetoric. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to tackle the homeless situation. They have more homeless now than ever. That guy is a horrible leader. Horrible. And he's running for president. And good night. I mean, that's like going out looking for a job and your resume says, hey, I've tanked every business I've been involved in, and I'd like to run your business now. No, thank you. Okay, so John chapter 7, verse 24. We go back to this verse a lot where Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. It is very important in the day and age in which we live to look under the hood, so to speak, to look deeper than just what you see, because we know that fake news abounds. I think that it was President Trump who said, you know, I won the presidency in, you know, he calls it a landslide when you look at all the states and counties that he won. I won in a landslide. Others will dispute that. But the reporting from CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, all the mainstream legacy media outlets, it's 90%+ negative. Well, so how is that fair journalism when over half the country and all these different counties all over? You look at a map, blue versus red, and you'll see how many places in terms of landmass voted for Donald Trump. It's overwhelming. And yet the coverage on Donald Trump is 90%+ negative, 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 negative. It is terrible. So you have to judge according, not according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. What is going on? So Saturday, another No Kings protest. It absolutely makes no sense. Why do they call it? We don't have a king. Donald Trump is not acting like a king. The person that acted more like a king was President Joe Biden with his COVID mandates, with people losing their jobs if they wouldn't get vaccinated. That's more of a king, a dictator saying, this is what you're going to do or you're going to face the consequences. He creates laws that are unjust and puts people through the grinder to get them to do what he wants them to do. Trump is not doing that. Trump is enforcing laws that have been on the books. People get mad because of ICE. ICE is going after people that are in this country illegally. Well, those are immigration laws. ICE didn't pass the immigration laws. Congress passed the immigration laws. And They're just enforcing them. As Christy Noem said once in an interview, she said, well, do we just pick and choose which laws we enforce? Is that how you want us to run law enforcement? Well, we say, well, okay, you murdered this person. I guess we're going to try you for it. But you just stole that guy's TV from his house. Ah, no big deal. We'll just let that one slide. No, I mean, you enforce laws. That's what law enforcement does. Now, the No Kings protest, in my opinion, should just be called, I hate Donald Trump, and I'm opposed to anything and everything he stands for. That's what the No Kings protest is. It's a bunch of people gathered together, and it's very coordinated. It's not grassroots at all, but it's very coordinated for people to just say, I hate Trump. And we're going to call him a king, and we're going to protest against him. And we're going to get all the radicals together. And I like what Scott Jennings, the conservative on CNN, had to say about the No Kings protests this past Saturday.
These No Kings rallies actually look pretty representative to me of the Democratic coalition. I saw people flying the hammer and sickle in New York City. I saw Hezbollah flags. I saw Hamas flags. I saw Palestinian flags. I saw trans signs. I see weirdo liberal boomers out there. This is pretty representative of the Democratic coalition, and that's who funds it as well, by the way. And so I think if America looks at this and says, what do the two parties stand for? They got it at the No Kings.
No, I think if you Americans were out there, Republican.
You like hammer and sickle? You like hammer and sickle flag?
That's not what that No Kings did for.
They had a bunch of them.
You know that.
They come from somewhere.
All right, where No Kings from?
I did. I went to six. And I'll tell you, there's so much excitement.
Six?
There's so much energy. Yeah.
A lot of free speech.
I'll get you a t-shirt.
You should come. That's a lot of free speech for a country with a king.
That's a lot of free speech. And you know, I'll tell you, there's so much.
Yeah, what a hypocritical situation. We're going to have this No Kings rally because we're coming up against Donald Trump, who's a king. Well, if he were a real king, you wouldn't have the rally. That's what Scott Jennings is saying, obviously. I mean, it's simple, and yet this one guy's just gushing over, oh, it's just so wonderful. There's so much energy. Well, it's all choreographed. It's paid for by George Soros and others, Act Blue, the entity that's wanting us to destroy the country under the guise of saving our democracy. It's just sick. So we need to judge with righteous judgment. I love, maybe you saw the back and forth between an Iranian journalist. She's now in America, but she lived in Iran for 30 years. And she came up to this white lady. Because it's all the, you know, we have a word for it. The word is Karen, a liberal Karen. It's always this white lady that's, 50-ish, 45 to 65 years old. And she's, you know, banging the drum for the liberal causes. And this Iranian lady came up to her, and she had a sign that says, don't bomb, no more bombing on Iran. She said, why are you supporting a terrorist regime in Iran? She said, I'm Iranian. We want this war. We want to be freed from this oppressive regime, and you're supporting the oppressive regime. Why are you doing that? And the lady had absolutely nothing to say, because she was called out for her hypocrisy. She's just like, I don't know, somebody gave me this sign. She didn't say that, but I'm just putting words in her mouth. Somebody gave me this sign. I don't know what it means. I don't know what I'm standing here for. As one guy honestly said at another No Kings rally, the previous one, they asked him, well, you're supporting Maduro? He goes, I don't know, man. They just gave me this sign. It's just ridiculous. People that don't know what they're doing, they just know, hey, we're having a gathering for people who hate Donald Trump. Sign me up. I'm there. Because that's so many people. That's just TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. And they're going to be against anything and everything he says and he does. If you have communist flags at your gathering to quote unquote save democracy, you are so upside down. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And that we go back to that verse time and time and time again, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And that's the world we're living in. I've said before, with so many on the left. You can't tell the difference between 12 noon and 12 midnight. That's how upside down you are. But that fits with Romans chapter 1. They didn't see fit to acknowledge God any longer, so God gave them over to what? A reprobate mind, a depraved mind, a mind that no longer functions, a mind that can't look at a situation and judge it correctly at all. They fight for biological men to play in women's sports. Well, thanks to Donald Trump, who came out against that day one of his presidency, well, the International Olympics Committee has made the decision banning trans athletes. If you are a biological male, XY chromosomes, you cannot compete in female sports. We saw in the last Olympics that boxers, male boxers, were beating up female boxers. Gee, what a shocker there. And winning the gold medal. It was sickening, and it is sickening. And Bob Costas, who was the voice of the Olympics for so long, he was on CNN either Thursday or Friday, and they were asking him, what do you think about this decision to ban trans athletes? I loved his answer.
You were the face of the Olympics for so many years. This news today about the IOC basically banning trans athletes, that there's going to be a genetic test.
Yeah.
Your reaction to that and this very complicated issue?
Common sense is not transphobic. There's a reason why the high school champions don't compete with the college champions. Mm. There is a reason why no trans man who was once a woman and has become a man has ever competed successfully with men in the Olympics. If Caitlin Clark could play in the NBA, everybody would applaud it. That'd be an incredible thing. But if the last guy on the bench of an NBA team went to the WNBA and started averaging 40 points a game, everyone would know that is BS. Mm. There's a reason why Sugar Ray Leonard, who was a contemporary of Mike Tyson, didn't fight Mike Tyson. They were in different weight classes. Mm. There is a reason why there are men's and women's sports, and why Title IX was one of the truly progressive pieces of legislation in the best sense of the word progressive under the Nixon administration. It changed everything. I had a sister who never played a single organized sport. One generation later, two children of my own. My daughter played just about as many organized sports as my son. That's a great thing. It doesn't make any sense to have a swimmer who was the 472nd ranked swimmer when he was a man at Penn either winning or coming close to winning against women a year and a half after transitioning. If that's what the person wants to do, that person should be treated with dignity and respect. But there ought to be common sense, and common sense is not transphobic.
And this policy is common sense.
Yes.
Yeah, amen to that. Bob Costas just saying, this is not transphobic. We like to, anytime you speak against the trans insanity, we're your transphobic. No, not transphobic. I mean, I think those people are, they're so deceived and they're so miserable. There's a reason why the suicide rate is four times in the trans community, if we would call it that. It's because you're fighting God on the very basic principle of who he made you to be. And if you do that, you're going to have a life of misery. Your heart is raging against the Lord. You accept the way he made you and don't fight him about the way he made you. And seek help if you really feel like that. Maybe you're listening and you really feel like, I feel like I'm the opposite of the my biology. Well, you got to get your mind in line with your biology, because it's not your biology that's wrong. It's the way you're thinking that's wrong. We have the disease anorexia. And what happens with a person who is anorexic? They always look in the mirror and they see that they are fat, and they want to control their intake. It's a control thing, obviously, among other things. But they starve themselves to the point of death. And it is not an issue with their body. It's an issue with their mind. And the same thing with transgenderism. Well, let me shift gears. Another issue we need to judge with righteous judgment. You know, President Donald Trump put Vice President J.D. Vance on top of the fraud investigations in America, because we've had so much fraud coming out of Minnesota with the corrupt governor. I say corrupt governor. He seems to be corrupt. He's overseeing a corrupt state for sure, with the millions and billions of fraud taking place right under his nose. But J.D. Vance is he was interviewed talking about Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, and the fact that it's been said for a while she is in this country illegally because she lied on her immigration papers. This is what J.D. Vance had to say.
Talk about Ilhan Omar and
exactly.
Obviously, Ilhan Omar, the president and the White House have been out saying she married her brother, that there is immigration fraud going on here. These are deportable denaturalization offenses. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, so we actually think that Ilhan Omar definitely committed immigration fraud against the United States of America. And I talked to Steve Miller about this actually recently. We're trying to look at what the remedies are. That's the thing that we're trying to figure out, is what are the legal remedies now that we know that she's committed immigration fraud? How do you go after her? How do you investigate her? How do you actually do the thing? How do you build the case necessary to get some justice for the American people? There's a related issue, Benny, which is she has been at the center of a lot of the worst fraudsters in the Somalian community. So do I know that Ilhan Omar was aware that the Quality Clearing Center was defrauding the American people? I'm not certain of it, but we at least need to investigate it, because if people can commit wrongdoing without even the fear that they're going to be found out, that's a fundamental problem. So I'm worried about the immigration fraud. I'm also worried about, what did Ilhan Omar know about what was happening in the Somali community, and why was nobody looking into it until, frankly, Donald Trump came along?
Yeah, Ilhan, he had trouble saying her name. Ilhan Omar, her net worth has skyrocketed just in the last 2 years, I think up to $30 million. It was about $150,000, $200,000 before that. It's insane. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about a host of things as we enter into Holy Week from yesterday, Palm Sunday. And we will have at First Baptist Texarkana a very, very special Good Friday service. We've done that every Good Friday since I've come on as pastor in 2003. It's always a special service. We proclaim his death until he comes, as the Bible tells us to do. And then we have the Lord's Supper together, and we think about the cross. That's Friday night at 7 o'clock, First Baptist Texarkana. Then Sunday morning, we have two services, one at 8:30, one at 10:30, two identical services where we celebrate the risen King and celebrate the empty tomb. So what a difference. We go from Friday and the sadness of Friday, as the disciples thought, this is over. Jesus has been crucified, never, ever thinking that he was going to actually rise from the dead. Even though he told them, it just did not compute in their minds that that was going to happen, but it did. And Jesus said to those two men on the road to Emmaus, "O foolish men and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer and then enter into his glory?" And what a day of celebration that we're going to have, and many are going to have on this Sunday for Easter Sunday. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Chris on the line from Texas. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I live in Dallas, Texas area, and I wanted to say that I was fortunate to attend CPAC this past weekend, and it was phenomenal. The most phenomenal speech was Prince Reza Pahlavi, and he's from Iran. His father was ousted back in 1979, and there must have been 500 Iranians there or more there cheering him on, and he spoke, and at his speech, he mentioned all the things that the regime is doing, how they killed more than 40,000 of their people just since January, 300,000 are wounded, how they are fighting for their freedoms. And his speech, he said, can you imagine Iran and Israel where they would get along, where there'd be peace and prosperity and no more conflict and terror? And he said there was only one president of all these years who said that he would not just manage this threat, but he would resolve it, and that was President Trump. He had the courage and character to see this mission through. And they were just chanting, Prince Revi Pahlavi, Prince Revi Pahlavi. And they were chanting. One person would say it, and another would say it. They are looking forward to have somebody take over this Islamic regime that is persecuting those people. We had women on the stage that spoke. One was shot in the eye and is blinded. Another, she took her hijabi off, and she was persecuted, and she had to leave the country. The people that were persecuted and the 40,000 people that were executed back since January, there was 40,000, and the ones that were injured, they went into the hospitals and had them killed, and they killed the people that were actually helping them, the nurses and the doctors. It is just terrible what's happening over there, and I'm looking forward to Trump stopping this for once and for all. It was awesome to see those people so grateful to us and wanting their freedom in that area. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chris. Them. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, so so the Democrats, you know, originally they were going after Trump, saying he's a coward, he's feckless, he won't do anything with Iran. And then when Trump does something with Iran, oh, he's a dictator, he wants war, he's going to get us into an endless war. I mean, Trump can't win with those people. No matter what he does, they're going to be against it. I mean, if he doesn't act, they're against it. If he does act, they're against it. I think it was Stephen A. Smith that called him out and said, hey, you know, you said you wanted these things to happen, and when they happen, you're against them. It doesn't make sense. But if you just hate a guy, I hate you for breathing, I wish you were dead, no matter what you do, I'm against it. That's basically the Democrats. That's, as John Fetterman said when he was asked the question, a senator from Pennsylvania, who is the leader of the Democrat Party? He said, Trump derangement syndrome. That is the leader of our party. We're just against anything that he says or does. We don't have any common sense. You know, he was voting for funding the Department of Homeland Security, like all the senators should have been voting for. He was one of the lone guys doing that on the left. And he said, you know, he hasn't been infected by TDS, but all the others have. It's a sick mess. We need to be supporting and praying for our country and praying for Donald Trump. And I've said this before, and because you hate a guy so much, as the left hates Donald Trump, you would love to see America lose against Iran. You'd love to see the tide turn and all of a sudden our soldiers die. Why? Not because you want to see our soldiers die, but because you want to see Trump do poorly. You want to pin that on Trump, Donald Trump. And that's what we see from the left. And it blows my mind how anyone could vote for one of those politicians. It's just unbelievable. As Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, it's between normal and crazy. And normal people, there are normal people that are Democrats. I know some of them. but they vote for crazy. And it does not make sense. Don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. They're not doing that. And they need to start. Well, we have Dave on the line from Iowa. Dave, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just had a thought. These couples that come over here, the birther tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't we change the law, the Constitution, that they would have to be permanent residents of the United States for, say, a period of 3 to 5 years before that child would have citizenship? Mm-hmm. You know, the couple would have to be residents of the United States, permanent residents, for 3 to 5 years.
Right.
Before giving birth to then that child could be a resident of citizenship. But they come over here, and I've heard on AFR and other programs that the CCP, their leadership has been sending their women over here to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
So then that child has U.S. citizenship, but then they take them back to China and train them to be
right
Chinese.
Subversives. Right.
And then they can come back here and vote in our elections and when they're
right.
of age.
Well, that's a good point, Dave. You know, we don't do things very often as a government that makes sense. We want to treat everybody like they're just, you know, everything they tell us is true. Nobody would ever lie to us. Hey, we have laws on the books that illegal aliens can't vote, so we don't need the SAVE Act. Yeah, we have laws on the books that you can't traffic humans, you can't traffic drugs, but that doesn't stop people from doing that. And so the idea that, you know, we just have this this program, it's kind of like, it reminds me of, Dave, when we had the honor system for snacks. I used to work, when I was in high school, I worked for the Cyfair ISD maintenance department, and they had all these snacks out there. It's in this cardboard container, and it had a little cardboard bank where you'd put in your money, and you get your potato chips or your pretzels or whatever it was. And they'd stock that up, and it was called the honor system. Well, honorable people can have that. That era is gone bye-bye. I don't think you have those anywhere, because why? People would just steal all the stuff, and they'd put no money into it, and whoever's trying to run that business would be out of business in short order, because we don't have a society where people fear God and people want to do what is right. It was John Adams that said, "We have built a constitution and constructed a constitution that is for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for any other, to govern any other." And because we have jettisoned ourselves away from God, His word, His will, and His ways, Romans chapter 1, then we don't have a moral and religious people anymore. And the U.S. Constitution doesn't work when you have all these people that are trying to game the system and cheat the system and lie and, you know, have ill intent all over the board. And that's what we have. So we let in all these Somalians, and what do they do? Not every single one of them, but many of them. They're committing fraud. They're stealing our tax dollars, and they're sending it home in suitcases out of the Minneapolis airport by the millions and millions and millions of dollars, and tens of millions, hundreds of millions. And then we act like, that seems kind of strange. It's like, good night, wake up. And I've shared this before. Rudy Giuliani, he made the comment. He said, you know, if you sit down, it was a poker comment, if you sit down at the poker table and you know that the guy you're playing against is a cheater and he's cheating you, but you continue to play, well, you're a moron. You can't keep doing that. I remember as a little kid, I played gin rummy with my grandfather, And I started to pick up more than one card. His eyesight wasn't all that great, and I thought I was just being funny. When he found out I was cheating, he said, I'm not playing with you anymore. He got upset about it. He didn't want his grandson to be a cheater. And I think I was, I don't know, 7 years old or something like that. And, you know, I understand now what he was trying to teach me. I didn't really understand then. But if you keep playing cards, you keep playing games, you keep playing things that matter with those who are undermining the rules and cheating, well, you're going to get bad results. And so you have to have a system, just like you proposed, Dave, that puts safeguards in there that says, hey, you're not going to be able to do this. Otherwise, we're just the country's going to go down the tubes. And praise the Lord for Donald Trump trying to do that. And if he were a king, I guarantee you we'd already have the SAVE Act passed. We would have the funding of DHS. We would have all those things that are no-brainers. But we have the other side arguing tooth and nail. I think based on what I'm seeing, that they need to nuke the filibuster and just say, hey, we have the majority. We're going to pass these things. Because the filibuster is going away if the Democrats get in power, they get the majority, they're going to nuke it anyway. So what difference does it make? We need to carpe diem, seize the day. We have an opportunity to do things that will benefit America, benefit the American people now. And if we squander that opportunity, if we don't seize the day, but we squander the day and squander the opportunity, well, we're going to get the results and they're going to be very, very poor for the country and for the citizens of America. And so I appreciate the call, Dave. I think you are exactly right. I don't think that'll ever happen because we don't have people that that operate in the realm of sanity so often in politics. It's just the things that we do make absolutely no sense. And, you know, just constantly catering to fraudsters and to the fringe left of your party, that's just, and you're doing it just to get reelected, you're voting for suicide. That's just political, national suicide. It just takes time. It's not immediate, but over time you drift so far left that you fall off the edge of the earth, and the country just implodes. And so that's what we're praying against, and that's why we feel like we have gotten a reprieve with Donald Trump being reelected in this last election. And we didn't have Kamala Harris. She would have been a total disaster. But we have a true leader who is trying to do good things for the American people and for the Iranian people and for Israelis, and to really make a difference. And we need to be praying for him. Is he a perfect guy? Absolutely not. Does he need the Lord? Absolutely. As Franklin Graham, Donald Trump posted a letter he got from Franklin Graham. I saw that just yesterday where Franklin was telling him, listen, you were talking about not making it to heaven. And he said, and maybe that was just tongue-in-cheek, but here, you need to know for certain, and this is how you come to know Christ. And he explained the gospel to him in a letter, and Donald Trump posted that on his social media account. And so we pray that for Donald Trump. We pray that for our government leaders, that they would turn to the Lord, that they would get wisdom from the Lord, and that we would see revival come to our land before it's too late. So God bless you, Dave, and God bless you for listening to Real Truth for Today here on American Family Radio. It is a great privilege to be able to talk to you every morning. And we always try to end the broadcast with these two words, shine and share. We talked about two words today, carpe diem, seize the day. Those are two good Latin words, but shine and share, that's the Christian life in a nutshell. We shine, that's the way we live. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then we open our mouth and share and tell people what great things the Lord has done for us and how he has had mercy on us. And now, during Passion Week, is the time to do it. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.